Today is a new day. You know, you can't go back and redeem yesterday. And God wants you to put this a stopper in it right now. He wants you to put a comma in that part of your life. Amen. But we're moving forward from here. We always say it this way. You got to hit the reset button on what was so you can live in what is in the new day, the new beginning, the fresh moment that God has given us this time, this opportunity, this moment, actually, to live. Amen. He gives us life. He gives us breath. Without Him, we don't live. There is no life without Him. So God purposed that you and I would be here for such a time as this. Have you ever thought about the fact that we live in such a time that, wow, it's like Bible prophecy is being fulfilled and we're looking around at the world and saying, wow, I could have been born any time in history, but we were born, I believe, in the last days. You know, and I believe in Jesus' return. Amen. I also believe in a rapture, a catching away of the bride, of those who are prepared will meet the Lord in the air. He said He's coming in an hour when you think not. You'll at least expect, yeah. I mean, I don't know what version you're in, but my version says. So the topic today, I want to speak on the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is approaching. And what is the day of the Lord? And what should we do to prepare for the day of the Lord? In 1 John 2 and verse 28, and now little children, abide in Him, that when He appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. So this verse suggests the possibility of shame when Christ returns. And who is He addressing here? He's addressing the church, God's people. My little children, abide in Him that when He appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. You see, if a person intimately knows the Lord, then they will have confidence at His coming. If we are abiding in Jesus, then we won't be ashamed before Him when He returns. So when Jesus returns, some people are going to be fearful. They're going to be afraid. Why? Because they never really knew the Lord. And even among those who do know Him, some will be ashamed before Him at His coming because they have been living worldly and unfruitful lives. When you are abiding in the Lord, when you have a relationship with Jesus, when you are intimate with Jesus, amen, it changes your heart and your life and even your direction. And your heart's desires, your passions change to where you want to live your life for Him. In 1 Peter 4:17, it says, for the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Verse 18, now if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? So Peter here, actually in context, he's contrasting the suffering of God's people in this life with the suffering of the wicked in eternity. The time has come, he said, for judgment to begin at the house of God. And the time is referring to this present dispensation that we're living in, the church age, which began at Pentecost and will continue unto the rapture. And the house of God is referring to us, the church, His people. So during this dispensation, the church is undergoing a refining judgment and even opposition from the ungodly, amen, who hate those who truly follow Jesus. There is going to be a separation, amen, and it is happening between the sheep and the goats, between the wheat and the tares, those who are authentic and those who are fake. And the Lord will sort that out in that day, amen. He will send His angels to sort it all out. But during this dispensation, we're going through a time of refinement because we are being prepared for Jesus. We are in the dressing room of eternity. We, as the bride of Christ, are being made ready for the bridegroom, who is Jesus Christ. And so that requires self-discipline, self-denial, amen, a willing submission to the dealings of the Lord in our lives, to refine us, amen, to eliminate the things, to drive out of us the things that don't belong, amen, to do a little pruning, if you will, cut off the sucker branches of the things that are not going to be productive in our lives, amen. And sometimes it's painful when you get pruned, amen, but the end result is worth it because the Lord sees the end from the beginning. And he's making his church ready. He will have a holy people, a prepared people. And when he comes, he's coming for those who are looking for him. You see, the bride would live in readiness and preparation, even in her bridal gown. Amen. For the coming of the Lord. Hallelujah. So we as believers are experiencing these sufferings now, just as Jesus did when he was on the earth. So Jesus said, if they hated me, they'll hate you also. So if that is the case, he says, what will the fate of those who do not obey the gospel of God? So if Christians suffer now for doing good, what will the ungodly suffer in eternity? So in view of our Lord's soon return, we should be building up one another. We should be focusing on building up the body of Christ. Amen. You and I together, amen, are God's house. We are lively stones, amen, being brought together, fitted together as a habitation of God in the Spirit, a corporate temple of the Holy Spirit, each one of us being a lively stone as part of that building. Christ himself is the chief cornerstone that holds it all together. Amen. He is our foundation. There is no other foundation than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. We need to be praying. We need to be teaching. We need to be preaching. We need to have fellowship. We should be encouraging one another. Amen. We should be reaching out to one another. Amen. We should care about what happens to other members of the body. Amen. Just like if there's an injured part of your body. Amen. The wise thing to do would be what? To address it. To minister to that part. Amen. If part of your body is falling asleep. Amen. Ever have your foot go to sleep on you or something, you know, and I got to stay away from that. Well, what do you got to do? You just got to start moving that thing and shaking that thing and getting the blood flowing back in that part. Amen. You know, if a part of our body doesn't get used, if what happens, it atrophies, right? It becomes weak and even useless. It can become useless. So what God wants to do is he wants to resuscitate the body. He wants to breathe upon his people again. He wants to revive and bring back to life his people. Amen. And even the parts that seem to have gone to sleep. Come on. God wants to wake up. He wants to breathe in us new life. Amen. And raise us up from the dead. Amen. Why? Because we are his temple. Amen. He wants every part of his body functioning in its place. Understanding what our place is and doing that which we have been assigned to do as something bigger than ourselves. Amen. There are no islands. There are no lone rangers in the kingdom. We're all part of something, as you know, bigger than ourselves. Amen. So because we know the Lord is going to return, he promised to come, didn't he? We should be building up one another. And so 1 Thessalonians 5:9 says, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, in context, he's talking about this day of the Lord. And the word wrath means violent passion, punishment, anger, indignation, or vengeance. It's a day of vengeance of our God. That is the day of the Lord. So we can comfort one another, though, as God's people. We have not been appointed to suffer his fierce vengeance. Amen. But we are to be made ready and right before the Lord. Amen. Through the work of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. To makes us holy, makes us pure, qualifies us. You know, you and I cannot come before God with our credentials and our list of all the good things we've done. The only thing we can do is say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Amen. And I come by way of the blood to you so that I can receive the grace and the mercy I need to be the person I'm called to be. Because without him, we can do nothing. Amen. So the day of the Lord is approaching. In Scripture, the day of the Lord refers to any period of time when God moves in judgment. So you can see that throughout Scripture. Sometimes it was an imminent warning of impending judgment that was coming upon Israel. And in other cases, it was speaking of the future. And the day of the Lord also refers to a future 7-year period, often called this great tribulation, when God will judge unbelieving Israel and all the rebellious of the earth. How many know that God is patient? He's long-suffering, not willing that anyone should perish. God is giving people an opportunity. And hello, the signs are everywhere. Things are happening. Would you agree with me it's time to wake up? If ever there was a time we need to draw near to the Lord, it's now. Isaiah 2 and verse 12, for the day of the Lord of hosts shall come upon everything proud and lofty, upon everything lifted up, and it shall be brought low. Isaiah 13:6, wail, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It will come as destruction from the Almighty. Isaiah 13:9, behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel in both wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he will destroy its sinners from it. Joel 1:15, alas for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as destruction from the Almighty. Joel 2:31, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. Obadiah 1:15, for the day of the Lord upon all the nations is near. As you have done, it shall be done to you. Your reprisal shall return upon your own head. Zephaniah 1:14, the great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hastens quickly. The noise of the day of the Lord is bitter. There the mighty men shall cry out. We see that happening. It's approaching, folks. Whenever God gives us a warning, this is the thing we need to remember. He always gives us consolation. Whenever he warns us of judgment, he also provides a way of escape. So if you hear a word that's all doom and gloom and there's no hope in it, amen, I just spit it out. Zephaniah 2:3, seek the Lord, all you who meek of the earth, who have upheld his justice. Seek righteousness, seek humility. What it's really saying here is seek him who is righteous. Amen? It may be that you will be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger. Oh, so there's escape. And escape. 1 Thessalonians 5:9. For God chose to save us through our Lord Jesus Christ, not to pour out his anger on us. Amen. This is the New Living Translation, same verse. Christ died for us so that whether we are dead or alive, when he returns, we can live with him forever. So the day of the Lord also refers to the final destruction of the heavens and the earth with fire. In 2 Peter 3:10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. A thief in the night, suddenly unexpected, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. The day of the Lord will come unexpectedly. Amen. And at that time, the heavens will pass away. What are we talking about? What heavens? I believe it's talking about the first and second heaven, but not the third heaven. The first heaven is the atmospheric heavens. All right. And it may also be referring to the stellar heavens. Why do we say that? Because in Mark 13:25, Jesus said the stars of heaven will fall and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. You know, the astronomers are just freaking out about all the stuff that's going on right now. They're seeing all kinds of crazy stuff happening in the sun and in the cosmos and talks of asteroids. The Bible talks about wormwood, an asteroid that will hit the earth. Called wormwood. Did they call it? And they even called, there's one that they called it wormwood. Wow. Now it cannot mean the third heaven though, because that is the dwelling place of God. Amen. And you and I, hallelujah, that is our home. Amen. Back to 2 Peter 3:10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. And it says that the elements are going to melt with fervent heat. That means everything. That means matter, all matter. All right. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Not only the natural creation, but all civilization will be consumed. The great capitals of the world, everything. Remember, in the days of Noah, there was a worldwide flood. Amen. Even the archaeological discoveries are pointing to that. Amen. There's evidence all over the earth of this great flood. And so the first time it was by water. Amen. It was a cleansing of the earth. The second time will be by fire. But you and I in Christ have not been appointed. Amen. To God's wrath. But to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And whether we live or die, amen, we live unto the Lord. We're living in a preparation. Amen for that. So just prior to the great day of the Lord, several things are going to take place. This is how I see it. Number one, there is going to be a great falling away from the faith. And I believe we're witnessing this falling away. At the same time, there is a harvest. Amen?
Yep.
And the rapture of the bride, the church. When is he coming? In an hour when you think not. When you least expect it. How do I know that? Because when Jesus returns, he's coming visibly. As the lightning shines from the east unto the west, so will come in the Son of Man. Amen? He's going to touch down, amen, on the Mount of Olives. The earth will look at him, even his own people and those who pierced him, and they will mourn because they see the Son coming.
Yeah.
Amen? But there is this catching away of the bride. Amen? And we, as his bride, are to be living in a place of readiness because we do not know that time when he's coming. That's why the bride was to live in a place of readiness. Because the bridegroom would come maybe at the midnight hour when many are asleep. But let us not sleep as many sleep, but let us be sober, putting on the breastplate of righteousness. Amen. The helmet of salvation. Let us be prepared for the Lord is coming. And then after this falling away, the revealing of the Antichrist. We're all talking about that, heard about that. I thought Ronald Reagan was the Antichrist. That's what they were saying years ago because of his license plate, you know, and everybody's looking here and there for the Antichrist. I'm looking for Jesus, you know, but we know he's going to show up because the Bible says so. God said so. Amen. But then after the Antichrist is revealed, there will then come, amen, a coming day of great wrath. And that God is giving people opportunity today to be saved. Amen. He's been very patient. As a farmer would wait for the precious fruit of the earth. Amen. So the Lord has been very patient. Amen. Giving people plenty of opportunity to be saved. In 2 Thessalonians 2:3, let no one deceive you by any means. For that day, what is that? Day of the Lord, will not come unless the falling away comes first. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. And that falling away is the word apostasia, right? Which means defection from truth. A defection from what is real, authentic. Do you know so many are living in a fantasy? Living in virtual reality. So many minds have been consumed by media and by gaming and by cosplay. And I mean, that's what we see happening. It's a cosplay. People trying to be something they're not. Amen. But there's a defection from the truth. What is the truth? Well, the Word of God is the truth. Amen. His Word is truth. Jesus is the truth. Amen. He is the Word. So there's this falling away. The man of sin is going to be revealed. And it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, he will oppose and exalt himself above all that is called God. So that, or that is worshipped. So that he sits as God in the temple of God. Oh, isn't it interesting? Showing himself that he is God. How many know that they're rebuilding the temple? Amen. And they just finally got the red heifers that they wanted for the sanctification of the temple. Amen. And I don't know if they've done it, but they're right on the cusp of actually doing the initial ceremony of sanctification for the basically erecting this temple. And the Bible says that the Antichrist, the one who takes the place of Jesus, and he'll be everybody's, you know, guru or Christ or, you know, a prophet. He's going to embody all that, but it'll be Lucifer. It'll be Satan embodiment, right, in a person. And he will sit in that temple as though he were God, the abomination that maketh desolation. And we're at that point right now where they're getting ready. This is all, we can say, well, that's a good thing. But, you know, there's no need, listen, for the daily sacrifice. Why? Because Jesus Christ once for all paid for our sins. Amen? But all this is happening according to the word of God. And even when they had asked the rabbis about that very thing, they said, well, we're just doing what God told us to do in his word. Why? Because scripture must be fulfilled. So they're building the temple. And I hear that much of it is already accomplished. It's been built underground. Isn't that interesting? Times we're living in. But this false Christ is going to set himself up in that temple as though he were God and above everything that is worshipped. And before he can do that physically, he's going to have to first deceive people spiritually. So people will be ready to accept that. And that is what we see right now. There's a great deception taking place. People are doing crazy things and thinking it's normal. Come on. Outside of the Lord, we're all the same, aren't we? We're just crazy as everybody else, doing crazy things and thinking it's normal. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So we shouldn't be surprised at what we're witnessing today in the church, even. Because in 1 Timothy 4:1, the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. There's every kind of weird cult out there, every kind of weird doctrine right now being introduced. Amen. And a lot of people, they just swallow everything they hear. They don't check it out. They don't pray, seek the Lord, and read his word. Amen. They just believe whatever the preacher's telling them. Amen. Even if I say something, go back and check it out. Be a Berean. That's right. The word depart means to remove, to revolt, or to desert. It means to draw away, to refrain, or withdraw oneself from the faith. So they had a faith, but they departed from it. And those who depart from the faith, I believe, were those who never knew the Lord. They were never really in Christ. They might have had an intellectual agreement to that. You know, they believe God, they believe the gospel, they believe Jesus, but they did not know him. Because Jesus said there will be those who will say, Lord, Lord, didn't we? And he'll say, I never knew you. And I don't want to be one of those. I want to have a relationship with Jesus. Amen. And if you're ready, if you're abiding in him, amen, you're not going to be ashamed at his coming. You'll have confidence because you know it's well with your soul. You have peace with God. In 1 John 2:18, little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come by which we know that it is the last hour. Even back in that time, he was saying this. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. What? The body. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. See, those who are not truly born again will be swept away with the unbelieving world. Those who belong to the Lord will be disciplined by the Lord so as not to be condemned with the world. 1 Corinthians 11:31. For if we would judge or examine ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord that we may not be condemned with the world. Thank God for chastisement. Amen. We need an attitude adjustment once in a while. In the Amplified, it says, but when we fall short and are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined and chastened so that we may not finally be condemned to eternal punishment along with the world. The day of the Lord is approaching. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming to rescue his saved people from the wrath of God that is coming upon the entire earth. In Luke 21:35, for it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Luke 21:36, watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. That, my friends, is an escape from the wrath of God for those who are looking to him. According to the Bible, Jesus will return from heaven to receive those who are prepared to meet him. That would be the bride who has been in a place of readiness. Amen. In Revelation 22:12, and behold, the Lord said, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And even in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness. They think, oh, the Lord delays his return. Amen. I'm just going to go eat and drink and be merry and live a worldly, fruitless life. Amen. Full of self. And Jesus redeemed us, amen, that we might be his own bride, that we might be his own people, that we may do life together with him, amen, that we might be representatives for him in this world, amen. The world needs to see an example of Jesus in God's people, amen. So, no, God has not appointed us to wrath, amen, but he has separated us, amen, to himself. So we are to save ourselves for him. We are to keep ourselves for him. Come on. Are you going to be ready in that day? The day is coming. You need to be ready. You need to have that relationship with Jesus. Amen. And know that you have eternal life. Know that it is well with your soul. Don't ask the preacher. Don't ask somebody else if it's well with my soul. You need to know. You and Jesus, amen, need to have that understanding. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. You know, you can have as much as the Lord as you want. Come on. You want more? Well, pursue the Lord. He has more. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a half full. Amen. I want to be an overflower. Amen. We don't want to be short on oil. Amen. You want to keep the cup topped off, if you will. Give me oil in my lamp, Lord. Sometimes when I pray, I even bring that up. I say, Lord, give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning for you. Amen. We need to come to the Lord. That means you have a personal relationship where you come to the Lord and you know where to receive. Amen. His spirit and his help, his grace to help you. Hallelujah. God is very patient. But listen, as it was in the days of Noah, there came a time when God said, time is up. The door was shut. And there were those who could not get on board the ark because time was up. And there are those today who are playing, amen, even with this whole Christian thing. There may be dabbling with Christianity, but you need to know that you are saved, that you are born again, and that you are right with God, amen. And God has given you an opportunity today to get it right, to settle it, amen, to repent of your ways and turn to him that he might change you, amen. He wants to forgive, he wants to cleanse, and he wants to impart his grace, his spirit, to empower you to live holy in this body because you are the temple of the Holy Spirit and you are the representatives of Jesus Christ in this world. And God will give you power, amen, so that you can overcome your flesh. You can overcome the world, the flesh and the devil. Hallelujah. For Jesus has already conquered that enemy and he gives us power to enforce that in our lives. So there's no excuse. Amen. It's not that the devil made me do it. I chose to do it. Amen. But I don't want to bring reproach upon the Lord. I don't want to grieve the one that I love. I want to honor him with the way I'm living. How about you? Amen. So if you got to get it right now, because today is the day of salvation. There is no promise of tomorrow. The Lord could come today. Are you ready to meet the Lord? Are you ready to stand before the Lord in that day? Hebrews 10:37, I finish, for yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. Faith in who? Faith in God. Faith in the Son of God. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Draw near, and he'll draw near to you. But we, listen, verse 39, are not of those who draw back to destruction or perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. That is our life essence, your soul. Pneuma. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. We need to be praying in the Holy Spirit. Amen. We need to be abiding in the Word of God. We need to be in fellowship. We need to be encouraging one another. And we need to obey the voice of the Lord. Amen. My sheep hear my voice, he said. I know them. They follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. Do you know the voice of the Lord? He gave us his word, didn't he? And he gave us his spirit so that he would reveal himself to us by his spirit so we can know the Lord intimately, have a friendship with God through Jesus Christ, and have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he was in this world, so are we. Do you have confidence today? So we won't be ashamed. Be clothed in his righteousness. Would you take a moment to bow your head right now with me? Thank you, Father. God, I pray this morning that every one of us in this room will be at peace with you, will be right with you, will have repented, Lord, turned away from our ways. And Lord, that we will commit our lives, surrender our lives, to live the rest of our lives for you, our bridegroom, that we will be ready, we'll be prepared to meet you in that day. Lord, more than anything else, we want to hear you say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Help us, Lord. We need your grace. We need your strength. We need your power. Draw us in to you today. Just a simple, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Lord, grant me grace. Grant me your Holy Spirit. Empower me to live for you, to honor you, to glorify you, Lord, is my prayer. My desire is to honor you in all I do. My God, I thank you for my brothers and sisters, those of like precious faith who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, who are your people, who are your bride. But Lord, I don't know everyone here. I don't know where everyone is at. You know that. And you are the judge, Lord. But I do pray, Lord, that if there is something that needs to be settled today, something that needs to be reconciled today, maybe there's someone here today that just needs to recommit to serve, to live for Jesus. God, that's what you called us to. Lord, you said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me daily. We want to do that. So, Lord, set our hearts on fire for you. Burn in us, Lord, with a holy passion, a holy desire, that we will desire what you desire. We will love what you love, and we will hate what you hate. God, we pray, break the chains, Lord. Set the captives free. Satan, we reject you in Jesus' name. We command you, take your hands off God's people. In Jesus' name, loose them now. Hallelujah. Mind-binding spirits, we rebuke you. We take you captive in Jesus' name. And we command you to go in Jesus' name. Loose them now. Break your chain. Lord, we thank you that you have given to your church all things that pertain to life and godliness, to the knowledge of you. You've given the gifts of your spirit to your people. Father, today I pray also you extend your mercy, Lord, because it's by your mercy that we're saved. It's by your mercy that we're healed. I pray that you would bring healing to those who are sick today. I pray if you're here today and you need healing, I'd ask you to do something bold and just stand up. We're going to pray for you. We're going to believe God for your healing. God is working miracles today. Don't be afraid. Just stand up. Amen. And we're going to pray and believe God to touch you today. Hallelujah.